Welcome to the 11th episode of the 5-Minute Major Podcast of St. Louis. This week, we have plenty of Blues hockey to talk about with you guys. Additionally, we have the Frozen Frenzy on October 22nd, which was wild. Great coverage, all 32 teams in action, 16 matchups. It was a great time. And we're going to do some quick rundowns of the news, and Mike's going to give you a little update on our podcast right now.
Yeah, we just want to thank everybody for listening, feedback, any comments and likes on any of our posts, anything you're sharing. We appreciate you guys, seriously. Just keep on sharing it to your friends and families, your coworkers, anybody who you think likes sports just in general, St. Louis just in general. We're trying to really push ourselves out there and really capture a bigger audience. And some milestones here that we're reaching almost 100 followers on Instagram. That's great. And once we reach it, we do have that 24-25 game or schedule calendar. There's two of them, I believe, that we were going to give away. Yes, so sir. If you go on our Instagram, make sure you follow, you go like that and share it with friends and leave three of your friends in the comments. And then we're officially like almost to 75 on Twitter. And then TikToks have been doing pretty good.
We're at 93.
On Instagram?
On Instagram now. So nice. We are almost there.
Yes, that's awesome. And then, just appreciate you guys. That's all we wanted to say. Millions and millions of thank yous forever and ever. While we keep doing this, we're going to keep saying it. Let's hop into it, man. Another busy week, as we always say. It's the... I'm going to start calling it Around the League Quick BuzzFeed or something like really catchy, because we do it every episode.
Yeah.
The quick news breakdown. Let's go. We're going to start with Hockey Fights Cancer. I don't know if this is officially a new name, but they've been doing this forever.
Yeah.
The Hockey Fights Cancer Champions. It spreads awareness and supports the cause by using their platform to mobilize and inspire fans around the world. And it includes active NHL players, alumni, celebrities, influencers, public figures, just anybody who wants to lend support. The cool thing is 100% of the donations made to Hockey Fights Cancer through the V Foundation is going to game-changing research. In the first year of partnership in the 23-24 season, there was almost $3 million raised. And that is fantastic stuff. You know,
yeah.
We always say, you know, cancer's the devil. You know, it's just brutal stuff. And never wish it upon anybody. And anybody's going through, you always pray for them. Hopefully, you know, you guys don't have anything crazy like that going on in your family and all that. We know it sucks. But this is just another step for finding that cure and supporting people that are going through it, including the families, not just, you know, the cancer patients, which it hits home to everybody.
For sure.
So cool stuff from the NHL as always. Just more marketing for them too, in general, is good.
Yeah.
And they've been doing that this year, especially. So this is always steps in the right direction.
Yeah, I really think the NHL has really stepped up for this cause in the last, 5 to 10 years. I feel like they are the prominent sports league that I feel like really makes this a priority, and that's huge for the NHL community and the NHL fan base. You know, hockey truly is a family, and we want to let everyone know you're never fighting alone. Okay. Moving on from there, the Four Nation jerseys were released. And Mike and I were talking about this. We're really not disappointed in any of them. I know there's been a lot of talk about them. I think we had the debate. I think Finland's is one of the best. I like it. The jersey is a really cool design. Sweden, they're doing their natural form always. It's a clean looking jersey. Canada and USA, there's a lot of debate over this Canada jersey. I like it. I think it's cool. I think it's a good one. And then USA is clean, very simple though. I think there's a lot more they could do with these USA jerseys, but it really does remind me of that Lake Placid team and that just that simple USA design.
Yeah, I agree. I do love the simplicity of some of these jerseys. Sweden's especially is always so slick. And we talked about this. I I'm just so confused why the royal blue isn't prominent in ours or Sweden's. Like, Canada's got the bright red, you know. I kind of wish ours were more blue and had a little bit more pizzazz, maybe stars that on the shoulder pads.
Yeah, shoulders would have been cool. Yeah.
But anyway, no matter what, it's just another sick jersey that you can go buy and, you know, spend hundreds of dollars on like we do.
Yep.
But I mean, that's coming up. It's what, 4 months away?
Yeah, we're games in the US and in Canada. So I think Boston is hosting some of those games.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, there's plenty of debate about who's going to be starting goaltenders and who's going to be the captains, I guess, well, besides Sidney Crosby.
Sidney Crosby, if he is not the captain, I am going to be very angry about this.
Yeah, we love Sidney Crosby on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, we do.
we're excited. Once those lineups start kind of coming to fruition, we'll start talking about them more. I'm sure Jordan Binnington and, you know, maybe even Kyrou maybe could be on the team, and then the Americans are going to be stacked low-key. So it'll be fun. It's just like these are the four prominent teams. Like these are always the four teams that everyone talks about, excluding Russia, I guess. But these are the ones that you got to watch out for. I mean, this is fun. Always fun. It gets me hyped up for the Olympics.
For sure.
It's
going to be a good one.
It's so much more fun when it's the NHLers. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hockey frenzy.
Yes. Frozen frenzy. What was that? 5 days ago at the recording of this podcast. It was bonkers. Yeah. Like, I didn't know where to look. There was so much going on all at once. Part of me is like, why didn't we start this at 10 a.m.?
Yeah.
Like, it was so much. But at the end of the day, it was amazing to have just hours of back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back hockey. And so many cool things happened, too. There was only one hat trick.
Which is surprising.
Kind of surprising.
Yeah.
So one out of 16 games was a hat trick from Hagel in Tampa Bay. So good for him. He's actually been lighting it up.
He's sneaky good.
Yeah. He's one of those like maybe fringe top six guys that scores 25, you know, and you're like, there's a guy you need on your team.
Mm-hmm.
The Avalanche and the Predators actually started winning some games this week.
They're figuring it out. Finally.
They're kind of figuring it. Avalanche especially are figuring it out. They're like 5-4 now. It's getting scary again.
Yeah, they're catching us.
Not good for us. Let's see. The Oilers blew, I think it was a 3-0 lead to the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
That was brutal to see for the Oilers. I think they
should have kept Broberg, guys. Should have kept Broberg.
They need defense. We've been saying it for years now. They really need some defense.
Yep.
That was brutal to see for them. The Hurricanes, though, good for them. Yep. Good stuff to see. Calgary, still winning some games.
Solid team.
They just played Winnipeg, right, this weekend?
I believe so.
Yeah, so, and they lost, and Winnipeg's still rolling. Yeah, Winnipeg's still rolling. That's another crazy story. 8-0. But good for the Flames as well. They played well during the Frozen Frenzy. The Washington Capitals. Wow. I think yesterday or the day before, they were 5-1.
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, what is going on in DC? And then it's just crazy to think that the people that they brought in for as little as they gave away, like Chychrun was a steal of all steals. Dubois, honestly, I mean, he hasn't been like loud. We haven't heard anything bad. We haven't heard anything good, but I think just
that's good for him there. Though. If he can just stay steady Eddie this season, and then just put some roots down, find a team, and just work. Just show up and work. That I think that's been the biggest thing over the past few seasons. Is Pierre he works for a little bit and then just quits.
Mm-hmm.
He has all the talent in the world, and I think it's hard to say he doesn't. He just needs to really string it together. I think Pierre might have found a home, and I think Ovi may rub off on him a little bit. I really hope so, because Pierre is that guy that out of the draft. You thought he was going to be a stud going forward.
Yeah, it's exactly what we talked about previously when we were breaking down their season. I mean, I had him as the breakout player. I hope he starts producing in the point category, but I think just him being on the line, I think he is playing with, I don't know, McMichael maybe and Wilson.
I think so.
I mean, and those two are lighting it up.
Yeah, Wilson's having a hell of a season.
Yeah. So the game they won on the Frozen Frenzy Day was their fourth in the row at the time. They scored two shorties in that game, which is bonkers too. And then the Wild dominated the Panthers on that day too, which the Wild are sneaky good, and that is also scary for St. Louis. Just Kaprizov is still some of the most talented skill in the league. He's so underrated. No one talks about him. He's a superstar.
And I think that's the thing, is that he is not going anywhere. I think that was always the debate. Is he going to stay with the Wild? He is staying because they are about to have money coming off the books. And if they let him walk, it is stupid. It is really one of those that they can't because he's a franchise changing player.
Yeah. Yeah. And they already locked in the young guys. It's just about getting him now. And then, I mean, they have Gustafson on the back end. He's been pretty solid for them. Yeah. If they can get another wily veteran like Fleury to back him up, if Fleury isn't done, then he stays. But if he is, then maybe you go get another older backup.
James Reimer, Cam Talbot, Jonathan Quick. There's plenty of opportunity out there for some older guys that could back up and bring some experience.
Yeah, on paper, they're a playoff team. We talked about that before, too. Yeah. They're sneaky, sneaky good.
Yep.
Okay, break down some contracts, Josh. There were a few over this week, some bigger ones.
Paul Maurice signs a multi-year deal remaining with the Panthers. I think that's a great decision.
Yeah,
fantastic no-brainer. Coach, fits well, great for those players, respected, is going to be a phenomenal fit for them.
Yeah.
Alexis Lafreniere. I mean, 7 years. Laffy's getting 7 years at $7.45 million. It took him a little bit to click in the NHL. I will admit that. Mm-hmm. I think for being such a highly touted draft pick, just didn't click right out of the gate. And that's okay. I think we're used to the McDavids, the Matthews. Like, guys, not every first overall pick is always going to be a home run out of the gate. But he's working now. He's fitting that system. He's growing. He's developing. Another good signing.
Mm-hmm.
Was a little surprised by the Shea Theodore getting a 7-year deal at $7.425 million. Wow. I mean, I guess this is the way of the NHL where you're giving away 7-year deals a lot. But, I mean, he's up there a little bit in age compared to some of these other guys. But a decent signing there.
Yeah.
But it'll be good. It's a good pick. You got to probably got the average down. He probably wanted more around the 8 or 9 range if you did a short-term deal.
Yeah, he's just a winner. He's 1-2, I believe, now. Or no, just... I can't remember. He's won a cup.
Yeah.
So, and he is kind of their franchise D-man.
Yeah.
They want him to be there forever. You know, he'll only be 36 when he's over with that contract, I think.
Okay.
So it might be kind of a steal of a contract.
Might age well.
He's been like near a half a point per game player. So, which is kind of crazy for a D-man. So
we'll take it. Yeah. Matt Martin signs a deal. He was kind of waiting around. I guess the Islanders have dealt with some injury bugs.
Yeah.
A 1 year, $775,000 deal, league minimum. You know, he's not flashy, but he's a New York Islander through and through. He's been there for years. I think Lou kind of did him a little dirty, not giving him a contract out of the gate this season, but glad to see something worked out and he is wearing that Islanders jersey again.
Yeah.
The big one for us St. Louis Blues fans, though, Jake Neighbors extended 2 years at an average of $3.75 million. This is huge. Great bridge deal. He is still an RFA at the end of this contract, so it still gives Alexander Steen time to make up his mind and decision of what he wants to lock him into. But the biggest thing I'm taking away from this, Jake Neighbors to me is growing to be a future captain of the St. Louis Blues. I think Jake Neighbors has been compared to Brendan Morrow multiple times. He is steady, gritty, holds guys accountable, and he is young and doing it at a high level. Jake Neighbors, future captain of the Blues, very similar to a Schenner, to me, in my opinion, and a Steiner. He is a Canadian version of a Steiner, in my opinion. And I love it.
Yeah. He's exactly what you want in a St. Louis blue.
Yep. Blue collar.
Yep. He's the perfect St. Louis blue. If he's the captain, we shouldn't be upset about it.
No.
You know, it might make people a little bit surprised knowing that Robert Thomas is on that list too. Or even Parayko.
Yeah, Parayko has done nothing to not show that he could be a captain as well.
So we'll see. But Neighbors, he's on that list like immediately. He's already got 4 or 5 this year goals. So dude, he shoots at such a high percentage. I could keep talking about him. God, what a beauty.
All right. The big news that's kind of been around and everyone's already known about, Robert Thomas out for at least 6 weeks with a fractured ankle. I saw the play. It was miserable. It was a great block shot, but he blocked it on that inside ankle where you have no padding. And he did play 2 more shifts after that, but did not return for that third period. So, Robert, Tomer, we love you. We need you back. This is really going to be a big question for the Blues going forward. It's just crazy to think what's going to happen here. Big things that a lot of people don't probably realize. It's a pretty good representation of your team if you're in a playoff position by Thanksgiving. The realistic likelihood of you making the playoffs is almost a lock, besides for the bottom 2-ish teams. If you're in that top 3 by Thanksgiving, you're pretty much a lock going into the playoffs. So this Blues team is going to be fighting and scraping their way for a playoff spot. And I think team-wise, if they bring it together, you're going to really rely on Braden Schenn, Jake Neighbors, and Brandon Saad to carry a lot of weight. But we look forward to seeing what this Blues team can do.
Yeah, that's a good point. people probably thought you were going to say Kyrou and Buchnevich, but we already know they have to carry the weight. It's the additional 3 or 4 guys that need to step up too. And honestly, they have.
You
know, the past 3 games have looked decent. They, you know, might not have 3 wins, but you know, we've played our best hockey in these last 3 games for sure. Yeah. Just crazy, freakish stuff, man. It sucks to see your best player. You know, obviously, he's a point-per-game player.
And we were complaining about him not being great so far this season. I think we can openly say we needed more from Tomer, but he was still almost a point-per-game player. So, we sit here and complain about him in a way, but, like, he's a hard piece to replace face-off-wise, penalty-kill-wise. 5-on-5 against #1 players. Like, that is a huge role that we're expecting everyone else to fill. And I think the realization is the team's going to dig in, but it's how long they can hold that, because it's going to wear and tear on a lot of players these next 6 weeks.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're a superstar or, you know, a top player on a team, you're expected to do things. And when, you know, there's simple plays not working, that's when fans start really getting into you. And that's kind of what we were doing. We saw him making some silly plays, but then the game he got injured, he looked fantastic. Yeah. It was his best game of the year. He had like 2 assists, was winning all his faceoffs. And then that happened. So it's just real killer to the mood. But let's dive into how the Blues did after the injury. It was a week of Canadian teams we played. We're up there in Canada. Actually, we're still up there, technically. I think we play in Ottawa tomorrow.
Yeah, we got Ottawa tomorrow at a 5 o'clock game, I think.
Yeah, Monday the 28th is Monday tomorrow the 20th. For us. So yeah, when you're listening this tonight, 5 p.m.
So we got them, and then they should wrap the trip up with Philly, I think.
I think so, too.
Halloween.
Yes.
Philly on Halloween, I believe. That should wrap up this trip and bring them home. This is the second longest road trip of the season for these Blues. So, big game. Looks like we'll play Ottawa Tuesday the 29th. 6 p.m. puck drop. My apologies.
Okay. Oh, so we wait till Tuesday.
Yeah. So
okay.
You'll be able to listen to this podcast early Monday, get your rundown, get in the right headspace, know the previous, and be ready to go Tuesday night, folks.
Yeah. Okay. So we played the Jets. Was this in Winnipeg?
This was the last game at home.
This was the one that was at home. It was the first game back after Thomas's injury. You know what? It was actually a really good game.
Yeah.
We looked like we were keeping up with the best team in the NHL at this moment. It ended up 3-2 Jets. We scored first for once.
Yeah.
It was all looking great.
Tomer was skating circles in this game. We lose him right at the tail beginning of the third, I believe.
Yeah.
He blocks that shot, and then he's just done for the rest of the game.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. I was mistaken. I'm good? Not even on path right now. But yes, it was a loss to the Jets. It probably should have been a win.
Yeah.
We were playing so good. It was just a couple of them where you're like, oh, they either that needs to be saved, or oh, we needed to get that out, or we needed to kill that penalty, stuff like that. So Saad scored first, assisted by Thomas and Parayko. Good stuff. And then Niederreiter scored on the power play from Pionk and Perfetti, which was nice. Yeah. I think almost all the Jets goals were like super nice.
Yeah.
Colin Miller to make it 2-1 Jets from Perfetti and Ehlers. And then this one was kind of the dagger. It was the Kyle Connor snipe, like short side bangerang from Sandberg and Perfetti again. So he had 3 assists on 3 goals. And then we came out. Saad scored again early in the third, assisted by Kyrou and Thomas, so that's 2 for Tomer. And then, of course, he got hurt on a block shot, which just is brutal to see. And we ended up losing 3-2, just couldn't get that tying goal. Yep. Coming from behind again, just story of the season so far. Run through some positives on your side. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, they stuck with a powerhouse team. I honestly, they came out of the gate in that first period, ready to play. Great forecheck, great shutdown D. Binner was making some pretty good saves in that first period for us. And the dump and chase. Also, sustained offensive pressure. We have been talking about this every game. I think it's like beating a dead horse. Sustained offensive pressure, working the puck down low, cycling up top, making plays, being there for rebounds, and just good overall team play. We were playing with them, and I think if it wasn't for Connor Hellebuyck, honestly, Connor Hellebuyck is also a positive if we're going to talk hockey total. Hellebuyck is a hell of a goalie. Like, it is insane. He kept them in that game, and honestly, I think it came down to Hellebuyck was the better of the two goalies, and both of them played out of their minds. Hellebuyck won them that game. So, good forecheck, end of the day. Finally working the puck down low and good team play. And we were finding line chemistry. That was the other thing. The chemistry was finally developing, and now we're here trying to figure it out again.
Bannister has been moving lines around like crazy so far this season. And we mentioned that third line with Shen, Joseph, and Holloway that was locked in. Now they get separated out because they need a center. Yeah, I agree with everything you said. We finally had ozone, sustained pressure. We were dumping and chasing and winning board battles. Binnington looked great. Top guys were producing. Just overall, great game for both sides. Great hockey game if you're just a hockey fan. I do think Binnington really, really kept us in it. It could have been worse, probably. Hellebuyck was the better goalie.
Yeah.
As he almost always is. But this was good for Binnington. He just kind of started locking in, and that's what we needed. After a couple meh games from him, he kind of showed out against the Jets. Just couldn't make one or two more, unfortunately. I mean, the Connor goal was just so sick. You can't even make that save.
A lot of slap shots that we seem to be having going in on Binner. I think that's the thing I've noticed this season. It's a lot of point slap shots. So I don't know if the traffic's just kind of getting to him. And I think I've seen some adjustments from Suter where he's opening his hips up to at least let Binner see the puck a little bit more when you're watching the game. So I think it's just finding those lanes to open up the vision for Binner to get him in a better spot.
Yeah, my dad and I mentioned that when we were watching. He was like, oh, wow, we actually let Binner see that one. And I was like, wow, you do make a good point there. Yeah. And that's something we've been talking about just outside of this podcast for the past 3 years, is our defensive scoring has dropped crazy since we won the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. Finally, like that game with Kessel and Joseph, they were firing shots. It had to be like 5 or 6 a piece that game. Yeah. It was crazy. And that's how you win more games. Yeah. So that's just another additive to how you pull away in these games is point shots, board battles. It's really just boring hockey.
Yeah. Boring hockey wins games.
It does. It really does. And we've mentioned it.
What do you got for negatives though? Because I think we still, as much as we, there are still some negatives on this game. As much as we did lose it, that is a negative. But I haven't been angry at any single game so far besides the Minnesota one.
Yeah, which is crazy. It was a home opener. Yeah. And we've mentioned this a lot, is our power play is brutal. It really is killing us. Can't capitalize on anything right now. It's been bad. I think there's not a sustained quarterback making the plays happen at the top. I think we're not taking shots when we're open and we're forcing things. And I think we don't have a big enough body in front of the goalie, making him, you know, try and see the puck. Just all of that combined makes it look like we're just passing and losing the puck. Yeah. And it sucks to see. That kind of ties together with being too cute in general with passing. I mentioned it last, I think it was a podcast ago or two podcasts ago, where I said we have zero crispy passes. Our neutral zone is non-existent and our forwards aren't staying back enough to give our defenders anyone to pass to. So the two line pass is killing us there. Can't do that. It was better this game in this whole week.
Yeah.
Not saying that, but just in general, you got to have crispy, clean passes, and they have to be the smart passes. Just make the easy pass.
Yeah.
And then our second period was kind of, man, that's where they scored their goals on us, man. Like, we can't keep playing 40 minutes and 52 minutes and 50 minutes. You got to play a full 61-hour game. And this game was just another example of kind of just that little lapse, and that's it. And you can't do that against a team that's undefeated. Yep. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. I don't think it's that we haven't played a full game. It's like a 5 to 10 minute period where we just just forget it. We just forget how to play, and we do it in inopportune moments and in our opportune areas. It's like a failed clearing attempt that somehow they get an extra rebound and they put it in.
Exactly.
And that's what's put us in the hole. This team is a shutdown defensive team. That's been the biggest thing. But we're struggling to just put it together all the time. I still think this team is a winning team and a playoff potential team no matter what. I just think they'll put it together one way or another. In the grand scheme of it, and I know we've been talking about this, and we're not even to 10 games yet. Or I guess, what are we at? We are at 10 games now, aren't we? Almost? Yeah.
I think we're 5-4.
Four. Okay. So we're almost there. So we're still building that chemistry. And now you're getting kind of a shaking moment with Tomer going out. So we're not going on terrible losing streaks like we did last season. This team is correcting situations and putting us back in good spots. So I'm not worried. I love the identity. They know who they are. They're ready to play a gritty game. They are hitting. They are standing up for each other. And I think this team has cleared the crease better than any team in the past 3 years has. You don't touch Binner now. Like, Binner doesn't have to fight everyone, because you will be jumped if you touch our goalie now. And I love it. It's blue-collar hockey, and that's blue-style hockey right there.
That should just be hockey in general.
Yeah. Like,
it was really sad to see Binnington have to do it himself for the past 2 years, and that of course brings the negative energy on him and the media aspect of it, but the guy's just feisty and he wants to save games and win games, and when his own deep defense wasn't protecting him, it was bad. But now we have guys fighting for their spot, which means fighting for their goaltender, which means being a team player, and all of that together makes you better just in general. So remember that, kids, always protect your goalie. take a hit to make a play, that type of stuff. All the cliches. That's how you be a team player. That's how you win hockey games.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, overall takeaway, the Jets. What are we doing? They totally are making us eat our words even more than we did the last episode. Mm-hmm. They're 8-0 now after this week. Holy cannolis, man. They are so good. You know, after the interviews of last season, we thought they were going to be poo-poo.
Yeah.
But they came out and they are just lighting it up, man. And Hellebuck looks better than he did last year.
Yeah, Hellebuck's the Vezina.
And that's a big reason that he might win back-to-back Vezinas. And he might be, if they can get the backup goalie in there for a win or two every once in a while, he could win any 7-game series in the playoffs. So we'll see. It's, again, not even 10 games, but 8-0 to start is fantastic. They are dominating the points right now. Shifley and Kyle Connor, two of the most underrated superstars. Fantastic hockey players. And depth scoring. That Perfetti had 3 assists against us. He's a rook, man. And Ehlers, kind of a vet guy, had an assist or two this game. So
and here's the thing.
Can't even be mad. We both played good. I'd say the Blues played just as good. Again, it was the 5 to 10 minute lapse in the second period, getting scored on twice, and just that's it.
Yeah.
That's literally it.
As soon as you open that door, they're not gonna let it get shut.
Right.
And here's the thing, and we talk about the Blues being a new team. We've talked about Nashville and their struggles with the new people. The Jets have been together, a lot of those guys, for almost 5 years now. They know each other. So the fact that the Blues were able to hang with them the way we did, I think that should tell a lot of Blues fans, we're okay. We're fine. I'm not starting the sirens or the chaos alarm yet. We're in this. We're going to have a good season. This is a good team, folks. It's not a flashy team, but it's a nitty-gritty team that will grind it out and will push your buttons. So it's going to be a good year. You just got to ride the waves with this team. We're not going to run away probably with it, but we're not going to fall out of it either.
Yeah. Yeah. And other than that, we got to score on the power play. Yep. Our bottom six and our vets look great. The new guys look great.
Yep.
We just need to make better decisions with the puck pretty much and keep the goaltending doing what they're doing.
Yep.
Okay. Now, those positives rolled over into this next game.
They sure did.
Toronto. We played our best game in possibly 2 years in Toronto. It was through and through a full 60 of dominance. I don't think Toronto looked, they didn't scare me once. Even the goal they scored, I was like, that was meh, you know? And then we came out and we scored 4 more. It was a great game. Blues 5, Leafs 1. Goal rundown, Broberg again, getting more points. What a steal. Thank you, Army, blah, blah, blah. Thank you, Edmonton, blah, blah, blah. We can say it over and over again. Oh, yeah, Holloway, power play goal. Thank you. Another power play goal. More of that, as we said. Such a big deal to winning hockey games is taking advantage of the man advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And then Toronto came back with an Ekman-Larsson shot. It was weird. It bounced off a defender, and then Bennington had no chance.
Yeah.
You know? And there's your one goal for Toronto. And then Texier, Neighbors, and then Holloway again with an empty netter. So the new guys just producing all game.
Yeah.
They were buzzing. You know, Bennington looked amazing. It was Stanley Cup Bennington. He was home with his family there, and his grandfather had just passed, so he really locked in. He made 40 saves, 41 shots, which is just incredible. But a lot of those shots weren't even high like chances. They were on the side. They were off the sides. We barely let anything in the middle. Great defensive play. Give him props for that, too. Board battles were won. We skated better than them. We passed better than them. Coverage in the neutral zone was as good as it was in the defensive zone, so they barely got passes through. I mean, our shot taking quality was better. It wasn't just from the sides like Toronto did. Just overall, I sat back, you know, cracked a drink open, and enjoyed the ride. It was so good, man.
Yep. It was a good game. I think the best game of the year, best team game of the year, and the most fluid at maintaining offensive ozone time. So this team finally locked it in. So like you said, you talked most of the positives. I don't have much to add. I think it was an overall great game. I think negative-wise, I do have one negative for this team. Scott Perunovic. I don't know. You took Kessel out because he had a couple turnovers in that Winnipeg Jets game that did cost us a goal. I guess they're finally trying to give him an opportunity to see if he can play. Their hopes was maybe to get the power play running a little bit, but when he's even on the power play, he's not shooting. He's kind of making some decent passes. I think we're going to get to a decision here soon, and especially after the next game we're going to talk about, I think he's done. I'm sorry. It's not worth wasting the spot on this roster.
Yeah, and it's really upsetting that one player is the negative of such a great game. You know, you critique everybody when you're a hardcore hockey fan. He can skate, you know, he can pass, but this guy was supposed to be a scoring defenseman. You know, we always talk about the size. It's a negative there too. Unfortunately, he's just not finding his pro game. No. And that doesn't mean he can't be a pro somewhere else. Maybe not the NHL. Maybe it's the AHL. Maybe it's the ECHL. Maybe it's over in Europe. Who knows? But he's just not a St. Louis Blue in the show, unfortunately.
And I did see a comparison. This one hits me a little bit hard because Mike knows I was all about this guy. He's kind of the next Blues version of a Ty Ratty. Played great in minors, great in the American Hockey League, and just couldn't put together in the NHL. And putting up record numbers in both of those leagues before coming up, and it just doesn't transition. And that just happens. And that's why teams, you draft as many players as you hope, and you throw spaghetti against the wall, and you hope a couple noodles stick, essentially.
Yep.
And he just might not be for this team. And I hate it. Yeah. He's been injury-plagued. And maybe that's kind of where we're at, but I just find it hard to believe that Scott Perunovic is on this team in the next month or so.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really sad, you know.
Yep.
As much as we wanted another scoring defenseman, he just hasn't been it, and that stinks. Yep. And of course, the injuries, like you said, always suck. Hopefully he can stay healthy and play some pro hockey somewhere else.
Yep.
Like he's still a great hockey player. He's just not a St. Louis Blue.
Yep.
Okay. This was yesterday's game, the 26th of October. We were in Montreal in the Bell Center, the most storied hockey franchise, one of the most storied sports franchises. This place is always buzzing. Unfortunately, they haven't been very good in the past few years, but they got some stuff cooking with this young team, man.
Martin St. Louis, man.
Yeah, what a great coach. I mean,
fantastic coach.
So low-key. No one talks about him enough. He's just one of the better small players to ever play. Just one of the better players to ever play.
Yeah.
And he's always been a great leader, especially when he was in Tampa and all that. But yeah, and they put it to us. You know, it might not have been that bad of a game for us, but it was not nearly the game you want to see after dominating the Toronto Leafs. Canadiens 5, Blues 2, yikes. It was a little bit closer than the score, though.
Yeah.
Let's run through the goals. Evans, no idea who that is, but he scored his first goal of the year. Kirby Dach scored his first goal of the year. And then we came back. It was 2-0. We came back. Two goals in under 3 minutes. Parayko in front of the net.
Yeah.
By the way, crashed the net, got his rebound twice, shoved it in past Montembeau, and then Jake Neighbors soon after that. Another ripper from the kid. His shooting percentage has to be 50%.
Yeah.
And Saad got another point. Shen got on the board. That's huge for Shen. He really
solid first line together. They're looking good together.
Shen needs to produce on the point, point sheet a little bit more.
Yeah.
Now that Thomas is gone, but as long as he's winning faceoffs and laying the body, you know how it is with Shen. He's always going to put 110% in. So it was 2-2.
I felt like we were going to be in it at this point. I honestly was like, all right, cool, bad. We played an okay first period. We were down a goal, but we're back in this. We're good.
Yes.
We can do this.
And then we took a brutal penalty.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it was Scott Perunovic who took it. It was a high stick. I didn't see it personally. People were saying that it was a bad penalty to take.
Yep.
Just something you can't happen in a game like that. Boom, 3-2, power play goal. Boom, 4-2, Caulfield.
With a and rocket then to the top corner.
Caulfield, by the way, 7 goals this year so far. He is on pace for like 60. And then Armia finishes it off with an empty netter. Just brutal. Like, we're there again. We come back again. This team comes back, no quit. And then we just can't stay disciplined. And of course, it's the man that's on the outs, Scott Perunovic. What do you have to say? I didn't watch too much of the game, so this is on you to talk about some positives and negatives.
So, statistic-wise, rough game. Broberg, -2. Falk, -3. Perunovic was a -1. So, that first goal, Perunovic should have played the man on the breakaway, the odd man rush. Terrible play of the breakaway. So, Scotty P, there's another point against you, my guy. Really, we're in it in the second period, and you know, I figured we'd give up a goal, but I figured we would get back in it again. We had multiple power play chances that we could not put the puck in the net, and that again, shooting ourselves in the foot, taking stupid penalties, and not capitalizing on power plays. So, one of the goals was off a turnover from Sundqvist. It's all about making the smart plays. Use the boards, clear the puck out. That was our biggest issue. So, and I'm going to be honest, Binner had an average game. Wasn't great, wasn't bad, but I'm sorry, we needed him to help us steal a game there. And you can't be losing to teams like the Canadiens. This road trip, I mean, you're 1-1 so far, and for this road trip to be a success, you need to beat an Ottawa Senators team, and you need to beat the Philadelphia Flyers. There is no reason to not go 3-1, and really, we should have went 4-0 on this road trip. So, rough game. I'm not mad at Broberg. I think the one goal, he would probably admit he didn't close on the guy quick enough on Caulfield, but he's still playing solid hockey. I don't think the numbers really represent how this game has gone. That empty net, we were already out of it by then, but those two, that power play goal and that Caulfield goal were just the nails in the coffin.
Yeah. I mean, you said it. 0-3 on the power play against the Canadiens, but ironically enough, they have the 4th best PK in the league. Shoot, they might be top 3 now after that game.
Yeah.
I was watching that part of the game, and they hound the puck. They are fast. They lay the body. They have sticks on everything. So good on them for a great PK. Yeah. But when it's Montembeau and that man, like, he's really nothing special. No offense. It's a goalie you need to put shots on, man. Yeah. And you just don't take enough shots on a man advantage. Why are you trying to be cute? Just put it on, get the dirty goals, and get it over with. You know?
Yeah.
We talked about it before. It's a little unfortunate. With a lot of skill on this team, we just don't have enough selfishness.
Yeah.
You would think Jordan Kyrou is ready to score all the time, but honestly, he isn't. And you hope that he can turn that around a little bit. So
he's streaky. He's going to be streaky. I've come to the conclusion that he's a streaky forward. The issue, though, is our guys that are getting paid the money have to step up in this situation. Kyrou has to be able to score goals. And
yeah.
I'm really getting tired of the first power play unit. I would like to see the second power play unit that has a Dylan Holloway on it, because that one seems to click a whole lot better.
Well, they skate harder and they win battles, and that's what you have to do when you're dumping and chasing to get the puck into the zone instead of doing that silly little drop pass at the blue line that gets turned over.
But I will say Buchnevich did a better job of carrying the puck into the offensive zone for this power play.
Love it.
That was a win. That was a plus. I don't know if they're snake bitten. It has to start working at some point. And that's the other thing. This team turned around a power play last year, so I don't know what we have done to forget all of the positives and improvements we did from last year, because Bannister is known for being a power play guru. So give it some time. I don't know if you need to really just mix it all up, start from scratch, figure out what's going to work best, because right now these power play units are not working.
Yeah, I think it's just a mentality thing. I think everyone's just trying to be too nice.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man, you're in the show. Don't you want to light the lamp? That's just my mental, you know, being a hockey fan. But we'll see, you know, eventually it's just going to keep shooting you in the foot and you're going to lose games because you didn't execute on three power plays in a one goal game, you know, and Binnington can't make every stop, man. He did have an off night, which is a little unfortunate. Scottie P really can't take that penalty, which really was the nail in the coffin.
I hope he's not in the lineup against Ottawa, because at that point, I mean, it's a slap in the face to Kessel.
I mean, he's not going to. Well, that, and he's not going to be able to win a board battle against any of the Senators players. No. They play a heavy game, especially with Brady as the captain up there. They play a heavy game. So we need a bigger body, and Kessel's that guy.
Also, you're playing Pio, and so like they're having to play on their offhands. Like, you're not playing a right and a left shot. You're playing two lefts.
Yeah.
So I just, it's hard to believe. I love P.O. P.O. has been everything I hoped he could be.
Yeah, better.
And better, yeah. And I think a lot of it has to do, he's finally playing with his brother, and those two just seem to bring a whole other level. And their skating is above average, in my opinion.
It is.
But I think Kessel, you're going to need for these two heavy teams. Ottawa's a bigger team. And then I really think Philadelphia, you're going to need a Kessel back there.
Yeah. Yeah, you need somebody who's at least going to get into the corners faster and harder. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So we'll see with that. Yes, 3-1 is what we need to get out of this road trip. Playing against an Ottawa team that's actually doing all right. And then Philly, they're just not in it right now. It's unfortunate. I just think their goaltending is really awful. But they have that Michkov kid, and he's lighting it up, dude. Yeah. So we got to watch out for him and Torts. You know, Torts is a great coach. So we'll see what happens when we get to Philly. Hopefully Kessel's in. Hopefully the lines don't change too much. I think they've been good. I think last two games were – or the Leafs game was great, and then this past game was just a couple mistakes from young players or new guys, and that's unfortunate. You hate to see it from a guy like Sonny, but – he's slowing down, dude. His knees are busted up. He can't do everything. He had a great game against Toronto, and then he makes that play, and it is what it is. You know, he's not a superstar. He's your grinder, and sometimes things like that happen. I'm assuming we're seeing Hofer in Ottawa. I honestly don't know how many games Bennington's going to play, but it might be less than 50. It might be less than 50 this year. I think Hofer might get almost half.
They're going to split, but I think it's going to come down to when the games are on the line, though. I think Bennington's going to reach another level. So end of the season, Bennington's not going to be out of the net. I think the goal is that you keep him healthy, energized, for by the time the end of the year comes, Benner is just ready to rock and roll and playing you the rest of the year.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you want him playing every game of the playoffs. So we'll see. Okay. Yeah. Game on Tuesday against Ottawa in Ottawa. You guys will hear this on Monday, so the day before. I expect us to play a good game as we have been. I think Brady Tkachuk is just an X factor. You have to calm him down and, you know, make him chirp you. Just don't give it back to him. That's what he wants is a response. Hope he plays better when he's got a chip on his shoulder. So stay away from that. Lock down, you know, the Stutzlas and the Sandersons and the Norse. Honestly, they have a good team. And now they have a great goalie. So Ottawa's kind of sneaky good. So we'll see what happens. I expect Hofer to lock it in as he has been this year. Kessel's in. Scottie P might be on waivers.
The one thing I will say, Doug Armstrong was listed to be in attendance with multiple management figures from around the NHL at the Toronto-Boston game. That being said, I think Mike and I have talked about two approaches. Yes, he's probably scouting for Team Canada.
Yeah.
The other rumor that is circulating, the Blues probably are in search for another center. I don't think the goal is to keep Dylan Holloway as a center. David Kampf seems to be the guy that is raising a lot of attention. not making too much money, but needs to move out to help with the cap scenario that Toronto is dealing with. I don't think it'd cost you a lot, maybe a fourth round pick and maybe a Scott Perunovich or something along those lines. I don't see it costing much, but he could be a third line center for you, and I think he'd bring some grit. He's 6'1", 6'2", almost 200 and something pounds. I think could play a good two-way game for you, and that would allow Radek Foxa to stay on that fourth line and solidify them. And then I think that also helps that I think we're going to see Buchnevich is not going to be the long-term center guy. And I think this helps that when you get a Tomer back, Tomer plays first line with Buch on his wing. Schenner proves right now he's showing he can play first line minutes as a center. Why the hell not play him as your second line center with Comfort on your third line? And then you're looking at Radek on your bottom. I would be interested to see if the Blues, I think the Blues are in the market, and I could see us being involved in some trades to improve this team because I think Armstrong sees the potential as team. So I look for him to spend some money for short-term deals on guys that aren't going to block the future.
Yeah, I could see it. Just not a huge point producer, Comf is, but you know, he's just a face-off guy and he can lay the body, which is always good. You just need a big body in front of the net, like we said.
Or Nick Robertson.
I don't like that idea. I one that just snuck in my head on the other side of things is Boston is Morgan Geekie was another name that was thrown out. A little bit more expensive. You know, maybe
we have the cap,
Yeah, maybe if we can take that him off Boston's hands, you know, maybe it's just not working with him and them. Maybe we take him and then they sign Tyler Johnson to that 1 year cheaper deal.
That would help them as well, because that would open up for a move at the deadline for them.
Yeah, I like lot better. Yeah, I don't mind that either. I like Geeky's game. I like Tyler Johnson's game. So I'm cool with either of those guys. I would hate to see us lose too much for it. I don't think it would be much at all. You know, they're vets or they're cheaper guys. So yeah, like you said, maybe a mid-rounder, fourth or fifth rounder.
I mean, Morgan Geeky's a big boy too.
True.
6'3", 202 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. It's always interesting, you know, with these theories and stuff. Other than that, Blues look great, dude. You know, with the record, we could be like, there's been close games. We could have 6 or 7 wins right now, but we just kind of shot ourselves in the foot with, like I said, the power play and other things. But we're getting there.
We're getting there. We're right in the middle of the pack, and the crazy part is if we weren't in the Central Division, we'd be in the top three in almost every other division right now. Yeah. So Central Division is one of the hardest divisions to play in. But
yes,
that being said, thanks again, guys. We really appreciate you guys, and we love you listening to us. Please share. Please follow. Please tell your friends. Mike and I love having this opportunity to spread our love of the sport and the love of game in St. Louis. But Mike, it's always a pleasure. I love doing this with you, buddy. And we're going to keep it going.
Love you, bud.